Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 132 of Nerd Pride Radio. 132, well, Hope Solo's husband was pulled over for DUI while driving her company van at 1:32 in the morning. Imagine my disappointment to find out that Hope Solo is not Kylo Ren's sister, but instead a U.S. soccer player who, along with her husband, has had repeated run-ins with the law, typically involving alcohol. So when I searched for 132, and again, the higher these numbers go, the harder it is to find relevant stuff. Do my homework for me, people. I searched for 132, couldn't find anything I really liked, and so I just decided to do a search for the phrase at 1:32 in the morning to see what came up. And sure enough, I find a link that says, Hope Solo has lots of work to do. I was positive, Hope Solo, positive, that this was going to be a story about Star Wars 8. I mean, come on, Hope Solo? All right, is that not like a perfect Star Wars name? But then, damn, it's not. It's a soccer player. But on the other hand, I then do some research on Hope Solo and find out, two-time Olympic gold medalist, World Cup gold medalist, even as ignorant as I am on sports, this is really a name I should have recognized. It was kind of my own fault. Anyway, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's probably like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my brain anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like a closet full of pheromones. Where did I get that? Oh, I know why I brought that up. Maybe I won't tell you. Let me get straight into a little meta talk.
Oppenheimer!
Yeah, meta talk is where I pull back the curtain a little bit, talk about the podcast, the website, what's been going on. First off, April Fool's Day. You guys noticed the little 3-minute announcement that came out on April 1st. And I'm telling you, that just appeared in my inbox. I can't say who it's from, but it was a welcome present and just in time for April Fool's, so I was happy to put it up. So very cool. And just in case anyone was actually fooled by it, no, we're not planning on starting a Nerd Pride Platinum section or whatever else we might call it, and we certainly wouldn't be charging $10 a month for it. Although I know you guys would be more than willing to pay it because, you know, we love hanging out. It's awesome. But honestly, not happening. All right. Still no new forums yet. My forums are still broken. People can't edit their own profiles. New people can't sign up for the site. It is a pain in the butt, and I need to get it fixed because I have some people who have expressed some interest in joining the site recently, and they can't. And so I am working on it, but it's got to wait until I've got the time to do it, which I don't know. Midsummer 2018? I don't know. But I'll get to it. It's going to happen. And then, oh my God. My brother, for my birthday, I got an envelope from him with a thumb drive in it, and the thumb drive contained every episode of the original Animal Cast, including all the outtakes and all the other bonus material we did. Holy crap. Like something like 125 hours worth of Animal Cast material. I am in heaven. I've been listening to a bunch of them. And here's the thing. I remember now why I can't republish a lot of this. I will probably republish some snippets of stuff here and there, and give you guys a little bit of the old Animal Cast stuff, because there's some of it that's just so entertaining. But yeah, and it's not just the crude language and that kind of stuff. I don't care about that. But there are some things that just, even though it's only been, 7 years, there's some of it that just does not hold up even after that amount of time. One of the first episodes I listened to was our episode entitled Women in Gaming. And the premise of this episode was Kyle and I went into it recording. Oh, for anyone who might be new to the podcast, the Animal Cast is the podcast I had previous to this one. And it was me and my brother, and we did that for a few years. And we had 115 awesome, awesome episodes. And it was really funny and really crude. And we had a great time. So anyway, I'm listening to Women in Gaming, or the alternate subtitle for it, Chicks in Gaming. And again, our premise was we were going in as if we were talking about women and role-playing games, and we decided to be the most meat-headed, misogynistic, sexist pigs we could possibly be. And at no point during this episode, did we ever explain that we were making a joke. I mean, we played it as straight-faced as we could. I mean, there was a few times where we would break out laughing and we'd start giggling at our own humor, but the whole point was we played it straight, and we acted like we were being for real, with the idea that our listeners, our loyal listeners, would know us and know who we were, and we were obviously being so extreme that even some newcomer listening to it would never possibly believe that we could be serious about this. The idea was that we were taking it to 11. We were going as far over the top as we could get. And it was really funny at the time. And in fact, listening back to it, it's still really funny now. But because it has no context for it, because we don't explain it, because there's no, I mean, look, we open up, and one of the very first points that I make, and I'm quoting pretty closely here, I look at Kyle and I said, hey, look, as far as women in gaming, hey, women, if you're sitting right next to me at the table, how can you possibly be in the kitchen making me my cheesy puffs? So Kyle follows up my sexism and doubles down on it and says, here, let me read from my notes. It's a scientific fact that women are genetically superior to men when it comes to making cheese dip. So why do you keep bitching at me whenever I tell you to get in there and make me my damn cheese dip? All right, this is that's, and again, in that context, at that time, really funny. But, boy, there's no way I could republish that because it's that's just not acceptable anymore, because we've discovered, my wife is over there saying, yeah, there's no way you could do that. This bitch would be kicking your ass. So, she's very funny. And the thing is that in the intervening years, as we've become more aware of institutionalized sexism, subtle sexism, the way things are handled in the modern world, what we did is not so much us being an over-exaggeration, but really us being a reflection of a very real movement nowadays. What we thought was so over the top that no one could take it seriously, which, by the way, at the time, a few people did take it seriously, and we had complaints, and we thought that was equally funny. But nowadays, you just can't – I mean, there are people out there that would take everything we said there as gospel. And I mean, and the quotes I just gave you, that was really probably the mildest stuff that we did throughout the whole thing. And you can't make those kind of jokes anymore. I mean, it's just not acceptable. And, hold on, in context, a little funny, but still, yeah, not funny. As much as I enjoyed, taking that little, time trip back, and reminiscing about that episode. Yeah, wildly, wildly inappropriate anymore. And that's, there's some of our humor like that. It makes me, I feel a little, I feel a little guilty about it. It's like, some of you aren't old enough to remember, but, there was a day back in the mid to late 80s when Eddie Murphy was the funniest person in the world. I mean, Eddie Murphy was, as a stand-up comic, he was cutting edge, and he was hysterical, and people memorized his bits because he was good. I mean, I loved Eddie Murphy. I had all of Eddie Murphy Raw committed to memory back then. And then you listen to it now. I mean, you know, even I was listening to it 10 years ago. It was coming up on the comedy channels on satellite radio. And, oh, it's unlistenable now. When he starts talking about his family, there's a lot of things that's not funny. That's just you recounting stories of child abuse. And everyone's laughing because, oh yeah, we had an uncle like that. Oh yeah, when he would talk about AIDS and he would talk about homosexuality and he would talk about women, it was just, it becomes unlistenable. And so the humor that we thought was really funny 7 years ago, between me and my brother, yeah, it has become really inappropriate. And while we have a context for it for ourselves, and we might be able to appreciate some of that humor, for what it used to be, it's not something you can republish because, yeah, it wouldn't be considered funny anymore. There's a lot of stuff we did that is still consistently funny, and hopefully I can find some of those and I'll republish the ones that still hold up. There's a lot of it that doesn't. So, you know. Anyway, that has been my experience. Oh, wait, it was that one, and I listened to that one first, and then right after it, I listened to the drunk episode, which that one still holds up pretty well because mostly it's us talking about horrible things we did to each other as children, torturing our little brother, playing pranks on each other, stuff like that. And that's timeless. But anyway, hopefully you guys will be seeing some of that coming up. Let's see. What else do I have? Oh, that's it for Meta Talk. Next up, it's time for us to get into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod, and the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So what's first on my master list? Let's roll down and... Oh, it's a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. First up, I got two of them. First up, my son Jacob sent to me an article about how the animation software Toons, T-O-O-N-Z, Toons, is going to be made open source, free for public use or whatever. Not open source, but it's going to be offered up free to the public. And then there will also be a professional version, whatever, that you can then pay for more bells and whistles. But the core of the software is going to be offered up for free. And this is a software used for animation that is the same one favored by the studio that makes Futurama. It is the same software used by Studio Ghibli. So, you know, Princess Mononoke and all the other Spirited Away, the various other Studio Ghibli films. This is the software they use for animating their stuff. So this is really high-grade pro stuff. And it's going to be given away for free. Talk about an equalizer. Talk about giving the common folks the tools to create whatever's in their vision. This is awesome. Really, really cool. And he was super excited about it because he loves doing animation stuff. And I just thought I would pass that along to you guys. And I don't all I have is the one link he sent me, and I didn't bother doing any other research, so I can't tell you when or how. But Toons animation software is going to be free. So take a look if you're interested in animation. It's out there for you. Also, the other thing, as long as we're in Nerd Culture Reports, and as long as I'm talking about my son Jacob, we went out to Hoohot, me and my wife and our son, and we had some shopping to do, and then we all went out. We had dinner at Hoohot, and while we are waiting in line at Hoohot, I cannot remember the context of it. I don't remember if I was teasing Jacob about something or if I was just trying to make him uncomfortable, but hold on, my wife knows. That's right. We were talking about he was complaining because he has a tiny flat butt, and I was explaining to him that he got that from me. And then to emphasize my point, I wound up patting him on the ass while we're waiting in line to get our food cooked. And it's just one of those moments. You ever have a moment where you just forget that you're in a public place and other people can see you? Because I do this, pat him on the ass, and then one of the cooks there at Hoohot around the grill just leans over and goes, "Oh yeah, well, that was a good game, Pat? Is that what we're doing?" And he's having a good laugh about it. And immediately, Jacob and I are both a little bit mortified. But on the other hand, we're both of a nature that we realized that, oh, no, we need to own this. And so we did, and we made a big joke about it. And it was fun. But you ever been in that situation? Anyway, it was a fun moment for us. And I'm sharing. There we go. All right, next up, the Science Corner.
Ooh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Well, you probably won't learn much this week. This one's just a fun one. This one actually, it comes from I Fucking Love Science, which you guys have seen if you've got Facebook, Twitter, the internet. You've seen IFL Science, and her, regular posts about just cool and interesting stuff in science. And one of the ones that she just posted up as a couple weeks ago, maybe, is that they're constructing, a new Antarctic research ship and, like a $300 million boat, something like that, but it's an Antarctic research ship and, the Natural Environment Research Council that is building the ship, or commissioning it, opened up an online, name the boat contest, so that people can nominate names and then, vote online, for the new name for the boat. And so far, the leading name is Bodie McBoatface. Now, this is nothing new because, you know, anytime you open up anything to an online vote, you allow people to make their own suggestions and then vote on them. People are going to mess with it. That's just absolutely, the way things run on the internet. We've seen it a million times. But in this particular case, I'm actually kind of cool with Bodie McBoatface. I mean, look, now, granted, I'm looking at the article here. Some of the others, Usain Boat, that one's pretty good. Botimus Prime, Ice Baby. See, these are all good suggestions for an Antarctic research vessel. But okay, Bodie McBoatface. As far as I'm concerned, this is, because what usually happens in this case is some ludicrous suggestion comes up and they wind up, whoever's running the contest finds some way to weed that one out of there and then they go with something else. And that's fine. That's their prerogative to do. But man, I would go with this one. I would, honestly. I mean, that's something that gets headlines. That's something that gets attention for whatever it is that you're doing. When you start sending back reports that hey, recently Bodie McBoatface discovered that, I mean, that's something that catches people's attention. And then we all have a little laugh about it. But then we actually look and see what they're doing. I would personally go with it. But that's just me. I mean, they're not – well, I was about to say they're not asking for my suggestions. But actually they are because you can go vote on it. I assume the voting is still open. I haven't looked. Once again, no research. So anyway, and that's all I had for science. I just thought Bodie McBoatface was funny. What's up next? Let's see. Oh, what's up next is I'm at the bottom of the page and I have to scroll down. It's my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you. First up, Paranoia. Paranoia is just about to start. I am waiting for one last character, and we may just start without it, but we'll see. I'm going to be running a game of Paranoia, which means that at my gaming table for the next, I don't know how many months, you're going to hear regular updates about Paranoia. So I hope you guys like the game because you're going to hear a lot about it. Although we kind of play in secret, so sometimes it's really hard for me to tell you anything about what's going on, because if not everybody is in on it, then can't really reveal it yet. A lot of the stories have to wait until the game is over, which can be anywhere from 3 months to, you know, a year and a half, depending on the nature of the game in question. This one, 12 players, it may take a little bit. We'll see how it works out. But anyway, Paranoia is starting soon. I am so excited. This is going to be great. What else do I have? Oh, hey, you know, you would be amazed if you keep a box of games in your vehicle. Just a few board games, a few card games, especially if you keep ones that are easy to learn and fast to play. If you keep a box of games in your car all the time, it is amazing how often you find a good context to play games. Oh, it's great. So we're playing, like I said, we've been carrying around a box of games. Wherever we go, we have the box ready, and we just load it up. Yeah, you know, just in case there's a few minutes, whatever. And oh, it's so cool. When we did Easter out at the in-laws place this weekend, the kids, I said, hey, well, we've got some games, and they were all excited because they immediately wanted to go to Castle Panic, and they wanted to go to Zombie Dice, and they wanted to play some Munchkin, all the stuff that we've played before with them. Everybody's thrilled to get those out. And we also got a great round of Cards Against Humanity last night, which was phenomenal because one of the best ways to play Cards Against Humanity is you bring in Grandma, because Grandma's always really uncomfortable saying motherfucker, but if you play the card, she's got to read it. So it was really fun. We had a really, really good time, and everyone, I mean, who doesn't have a good time playing Cards Against Humanity? Seriously. So hold on. Yeah, and as my wife just pointed out to me, one of the other nice things about it was now that we have made a habit of bringing these along, the kids have all played these games before. They know what's going on. And thus, if the games are there, well, they can just play stuff. It's not like I have to be there to kind of teach them the rules and coach them through stuff and kind of keep an eye on things. In fact, the only thing I really had to monitor this time is while they were playing Munchkin, I just needed to make sure I was within earshot so that if they started to get really loud, because Munchkin always gets really loud at some point, somebody was there to go, hey, whoa, have fun quieter, guys. But other than that, yeah, it was just really nice. Made me, great grandma was there. She doesn't really care for the screaming. But it was, it made me it's a little weird to have them with all my Munchkin cards spread out all over the table. And, you know, they're getting their greasy mitts on everything, darn them. And I'm not actually right there with them, because usually, you know, if I've got a chance to play Munchkin, I'm going to play Munchkin. So it was unusual. But it was so nice. It was so nice. And they all had a great time. Let's see, is there anything else at my gaming table? Oh, game night at the local art center is having their game night. This will be their third one, and I finally have a chance to attend. They'll be coming up Friday this week, so hopefully next weekend I'll get to tell you how that went. This is going to be so cool. This is exactly the sort of game night I have been wanting to organize myself, the kind of thing that I wanted to put together after I went to Gen Con last year. I thought, God, if I could do this locally, this would be awesome. But obviously, you know, I'm pressed for time. I got four kids. There's lots of things going on. And so, I mean, we did wind up doing it with the Scouts, which was awesome. And the Scouts all have requested that we do it again on a regular basis, maybe twice a year. So that'll be cool. But now here I've stumbled into, a local group that is just putting on a once a month game night, exactly like I would have wanted to do, except I don't have to organize it. I've talked to them, and they said, oh, yeah, bring some games. You can have your own table. You can run some stuff, play whatever you want, and introduce people to stuff. So I get to go in and do all the fun stuff without all the organizing part of it. I'm really excited about that. This is going to be a really good time. So, again, next weekend, I'll report to you guys on what game night was like. Let's see. And I've played Pathfinder since the last time I talked to you. But, oh, yeah, we're in the middle of negotiating – well, or not negotiating, with a fiend who, has information we need, but he's only going to give it to us if we promise to set him free afterwards. And obviously we're not letting a devil loose, on the countryside. So, we're kind of in an impasse. But although one interesting thing that comes out of it is we're talking about negotiating with him, and repeatedly this devil keeps saying that, okay, look, here's the deal. I will give you the information you seek, but you have to promise that you will release me immediately afterwards. All right? So that as soon as I give you the stuff you want, I'm out of here. And I have repeatedly said, hey, well, then if he says he'll give us the information first, why don't we just lie to him? My character's chaotic. I'm fine with that. Why don't we just lie to him, tell him we'll let him go, and then we don't let him go? I mean, that seems pretty easy, right? But somehow, that's not very comfortable for people. They don't like lying. And granted, now, the idea, they all have this, and me too. I mean, I have the same kind of twitch about it. There's this thing that, yeah, but you're lying to a devil. Devils who are known for contracts and known for their adherence to your word and this kind of stuff, even though, I mean, obviously they'll twist the contract or they'll twist the words of the agreement to suit whatever their need is. But this idea of breaking your word to a devil in particular seems like it's going to have particularly nasty repercussions, that this will involve something coming back to haunt us as a result of lying to a devil. But I don't know if I'm convinced of that. I mean, you know, the dude is trapped inside a circle of power. It's not like he's going anywhere. I mean, he's been stuck there for 10,000 years. I think we can safely just lie to him and walk away. But people are really uncomfortable about lying to him, even though, you know, he is a being of pure evil. And they'd be okay with just killing him. That, you know, no one would have any problem. The guy is trapped. It's a pit fiend, I think a pit fiend. But it's some greater devil, some powerful devil. And it's trapped inside this circle, and it's behind bars, and it absolutely cannot escape. It is helpless. So we have every, you know, we're perfectly capable of just jabbing spears through the bars or shooting arrows at it and just killing it where it stands. And I think most of us would be okay with that, because killing him for being a being of pure evil is fine, but lying to him, oh, I don't know if I'm comfortable with lying. And I know, it goes a little bit deeper than that, but it just seems, it's weird. It feels weird that we're more okay with killing evil than we are with lying to it. I just find that strange. So anyway, that's enough of my gaming table. What's up next?
And now for something completely different.
That's right. It's time for something completely different. This is just the stuff that I don't have a category for. And this week, Yancey played me a video where Glenn Beck talks about Batman versus Superman, the movie. And in his opinion, he felt like Batman versus Superman and the upcoming Civil War, Captain America Civil War, he felt like these two movies were going to be the downfall of comic book movies, the downfall of superhero movies. Because the idea that you have Batman fighting Superman, or that you have Captain America fighting Iron Man, that you have two good guys who fight each other, he felt that was a violation of everything that comic books stand for, a violation of basic American truth, justice, and the American way. You know what I mean? It was, to him, it was the idea that, hey, good guys don't fight good guys. That's just not how it works. Good guys work together. And you can listen to the whole speech. I mean, go look up on YouTube, Glenn Beck, Batman versus Superman. You can listen to the whole thing. But it was just fascinating, because it, in his mindset, look, you're either right or you're wrong. And if you're right, if you're a good guy, then clearly you're all good guys. You all agree. And the idea that two people, two sides, could both be doing exactly what they think is best for everyone, could disagree about exactly what best is. The idea that people who are both good and both working to help could somehow disagree, that was not something that entered into his consciousness. And it was very telling about the nature of how he views the world. Is, look, you either agree with how I do things or you're the bad guy. And it's not just narrow-minded pundits that do this. I mean, there's a whole crusader mentality that goes into this on both sides, that people feel like their side is right, and therefore anyone who doesn't agree with them is evil, is somehow intentionally trying to destroy America, intentionally trying to hurt people, et cetera, and this is a topic I've covered more than once in the past, but this was just such a glaring highlight of it, and it reminded me, you know, that for some people they feel like they need to. They, again, a crusader mentality. They feel like they have to be fighting for something. And if they're not fighting, you know, I mean, if you want to show how good you are, you have to be fighting for something. You have to, you know, for example, if I want to show what a good parent I am, well, then I need to be getting in there and fighting for my kid. Well, okay, but what if it's not something to fight about? What if we're all working for what's best for your child, for example? Then, yeah, but I don't know. They feel the need to get in there and fight. They feel the need to find things that are wrong, and it has to be a confrontation. It has to be an us versus them. It has to be that's how you prove that you're really doing the right thing. I mean, I don't know. For me, we're all working for the same end here. And yet, I had a boss that used to encourage this mentality, the idea that I worked for developmental disabilities, so I had, you know, 30-some adult handicapped clients that I was a social worker for. And so I would go in and do the planning meetings that would help lay out what services they're going to be getting and what goals we're working for. And so I'd be working with service providers that we contracted with, and they get money for helping support these disabled clients. And as part of my job, I would help them, you know, plan out services and we'd lay everything up. But then also I had a monitoring capacity where I would go in and observe them providing services, whether, you know, it was in a work place setting or a work help setting, whether it was residentially, people who lived in group homes or people who just, you know, lived on their own but had support that would come in once a week or a couple times a week to help them out, whatever. And so I would go in and I would monitor their services and just double check on stuff. And I had a boss who would repeatedly tell us that, you know, we'd turn in our monitoring sheets and let him know what we found. And anytime you find something wrong, you have to come up with a plan of action to help fix it and whatever. And we turn in monitoring sheets that, no, everything looked great. Things were going really well. I don't have any complaints at this time. And this person would tell us, yeah, look, if you're not finding anything wrong, that means you're just not looking hard enough. Because again, it was the mindset that to show how much you care, to show that it has to be an us versus them. It has to be a fight. It has to be you putting other people in their place and showing them how it's done. Oh man, it hurts me. Why can't we accept that for the most part, most people really aren't evil? I mean, okay, there's a few people out there who really don't have anyone else's best interests in mind. There are people out there who really are extremely selfish and really are, amoral in that sense that they are willing to hurt and sacrifice others for their own gain, or that there are some people who, yes, even take pleasure at other people's pain and suffering. But for the most part, I think the majority of people, while they might be a little selfish at times, or a lot of the time, most people, though, really do want what's best for everybody. They really do. They want to help out and they want to do the right thing most of the time. And I don't see why we can't give people the benefit of that doubt. You know what I mean? Anyway, that was what came across my desk this week. And it just struck me, as it always does when this stuff goes on. I've got some more, but I haven't quite parsed it yet. I haven't sorted it out in my head. Maybe I'll get to it next week, but it's still in my pocket mod. It's still on my master list. So we'll see how that develops. That's all I have in the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. That means it's time for the Pod-O-Matic! Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I'll add it to my, if you can get to my forums. If you can't sign up for my forums, then, you know, send it to me in email or wherever else you can get a hold of me. Just slip me a note when you run into me in person. I don't care. Anyway, if you get it to me, I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. My first number here is 78. And by the way, thank you guys. 2 weeks ago on the last podcast, I put out a call for new entries and you guys gave me a bunch. And so I am up in the red or up in the black now, at least. So we're not running short, but I could always use more. So, if you meant to last time I asked, I still need them. So if you were thinking about it, then get on it and send them over. I always appreciate them. Anyway, 78. Where were we? We were rolling down this page until we got to, oh man, it's such a long way to 78, isn't it? There it is. 78 is from my wife. My wife says, my wife Lisa, by the way, she says, you've been in county jail a few times now. Tell the story about the pink handcuffs. Wow. That's a good one. That sounds really bad when you say it like that. That's true. It does. My experience at the county jail, I have been there several times with the Cub Scouts, where Sheriff Rick gives us a tour and shows the kids around the police station and the jail and all sorts of stuff, which is always exciting because as we go through, if they have anybody in the jail, and usually they have at least 2-3 guys, maybe, you know, maybe a little bit more than that, they always have to shuffle them around so that as we take the tour, the kids are never in a position where they might be spotted by any of the prisoners. There's no way that we can ever run into them while we're in there. But we go in and yeah, we get to see the police station. We get to see all the centers and where they take calls because the dispatcher is right there in with them. This is a little county. It's a county police station, county sheriff's office. And then we get to see the little visitor center where you get to sit on either side of the glass and talk to your loved ones, just like in the movies. And then we go back and we see the jail and we see, where the on-call officers sleep, and we get to see where they cook the meals and where they bring everything in and do their laundry and blah, blah, blah. And it's actually a fun little tour. Every time we do it, I always enjoy going there because, the people who work there are really, really nice and they love having the kids in, and they have no problem showing them around. They'll usually, fingerprint all the kids while they're there, that kind of stuff. But, Sheriff Rick has a set of pink handcuffs. They are his handcuffs. That he uses on a regular basis. They're the ones that he carries with him when he's on duty. Because one of the first things the kids will ask is, can we see your gun? But then also they talk about the handcuffs and they talk about his other pieces of equipment. And so he'll go through everything that he usually carries when he's on the job. And when he gets to the handcuffs and someone will point out that they're pink and he'll say, yeah, you know why? One, that way I always know which ones are mine and nobody ever steals them. And prisoners hate being locked up in pink handcuffs. He said, that's the best part. They can't stand that. So to me, I think that's really funny. 26. And let me number these. 26 comes from, there it is. 26 comes from my brother Kyle. And Kyle says, how cool is the movie of the week program? Are we still even doing that? It was super cool, and no, we're not doing that anymore. That's too bad, huh? Yeah, the movie of the week program was actually really nice. It was actually the movie of every other week. We would, every 2 weeks, whoever was in the movie of the week program, and there were like 7 or 8 of us, someone would, the next person in line would nominate the movie that they want us to see. And it's should be a movie that either you haven't seen yourself when you nominate it or haven't seen in a long time, and that you think maybe most of the people in the group probably haven't seen it either, and it's something that would be interesting for us. Hopefully something we'll all like, but sometimes we didn't. I mean, sometimes, you know, again, you're supposed to pick movies that maybe you haven't seen yet, so sometimes you get a really crappy one. But we would all watch the movie over that 2 weeks, and then when the 2 weeks was up, we'd announce the next movie, and then we'd start discussion on the last one. So that way we're all starting fresh from zero. We've all seen the movie, and then boom, now the discussion starts, now that we've all seen it. And it was really, really cool. I really enjoyed the Movie of the Week program. And ultimately, it got to the point where, you know, because you don't have to watch every movie every time. And it got to the point where we were just having too many people who weren't watching it, or they'd, oh, that's right. I forgot we already started discussion. Hold on. And then they'd watch it a couple days later. I'm guilty of that, just like anybody else. I missed at least one of the movies, and I had two of them that I started late. And ultimately, after about 2 or 3 of those times where the response was just kind of lukewarm, Kyle called off the program, which was a shame. We should revive that because I really enjoyed that. Maybe start it when summer comes around because there a lot of people have more time over the summer. But we'll see. We'll take a look at it. But yeah, it was a great program, dude. I'm sorry it didn't hold up. 56. And 56 comes from Daz. Hey, Daz. Daz says, I can't wait for automated cars. Yeah, oh yeah, I know, dude. Me too. Daz continues, I'll get so much more reading done on the way to work. Oh, tell me about it. Although, man, if I can be reading or posting on the internet or doing other stuff, when will I have time to listen to my podcasts if I'm not driving? Oh, that'd be tough. Anyway, he still continues. What's the one big problem in terms of traffic regulation that's likely to impede development, though? Is it patents, speed, congestion laws? The main thing is people's initial reluctance to just let a robot drive. I mean, it is going to be really difficult to get communities on board with this. And eventually there'll be some tipping point where we've seen it be successful in enough areas and we've seen that, oh, look, here's the increased safety rates, the reduced number of traffic accidents, the reduced number of injuries or deaths, the benefits, the increased efficiency and gas mileage, the other things that come out of having automated cars. And we'll see all of that, and we'll see it working in enough areas that eventually people will get over their boogeyman fears of automated cars driving around their community. But I mean, the idea of automated, and it's not just automated cars, it's automated cars with automated traffic systems, traffic signals and traffic flows that can all work together, as cars can communicate with each other and with the lights and with other methods of enforcement, to kind of keep everybody moving as quickly and efficiently as possible. And it's going to be really cool stuff. But again, yeah, that's our biggest impediment, is just getting people to accept the idea that robots can drive. And then beyond that, then the next step is going to be, and maybe it'll be one that's resolved kind of at the same time, is going to be how we deal with responsibility when there is an accident. Because eventually an automated car is going to be involved in a serious accident where people get hurt, or where people die. And thus it'll be this whole issue of trying to work out whose insurance is responsible and who in particular is responsible. Who is at fault when a robot car winds up being involved in a traffic fatality? Or where you could even point to the automated car made a decision based on its programming, made a decision that led to a death. And maybe it was because it made a decision that, well, look, this way has, you know, a 90% chance of huge disaster, and this way has a 50% chance of minor disaster. And the minor disaster turned out to be, well, a fatality, or something worse. I mean, multiple fatalities or whatever. Things are going to happen eventually, and it will again cause outrage, and it will cause communities that have resisted the automated cars to resist them even more strongly. It'll take a while. But again, it's a trade-off. You know, and when you're looking at, well, yeah, but prior to automated cars, we had, you know, 50 people out of our community each year that were either seriously injured or killed. And then after automated cars, we have 2 people seriously injured or killed. I mean, it's probably not going to be that drastic, but, you know, yes, things will still happen, but not at nearly the rate. Yeah, my wife is a genius. She just pointed out, yeah, it's the same as people who argue against seatbelt use because this happened a lot more when I was younger. It took a long time for people to finally fully embrace it. But there are still people who will argue that well, yeah, but if I'm forced to wear my seatbelt, then what happens when I'm in an accident and I'm trapped in my vehicle and I can't get out fast enough? And, you know, when I was younger, everyone had a story of the one friend of a friend who was in an accident and he miraculously survived, and the circumstances were such that very obviously, man, if he had had a seatbelt on, he would have been dead. And that's why I don't wear a seatbelt. And yet, you know what? And maybe such cases actually exist. I'm sure such cases exist where wearing a seatbelt resulted in somebody's death with it. You know, without the seatbelt, they would have lived. But those cases are so rare. And the idea that look at the number of injuries and the number of deaths in accidents where people are wearing seatbelts versus the ones where they aren't wearing seatbelts. And it's obvious which is the wiser choice. I mean, heck, as my wife points out, we just had one recently where the guy was driving along and fell through the ice in his vehicle. And as a result, well, now he's fallen through the ice and he's soaking wet and he's wearing a seatbelt, but because he's also wearing his heavy winter gloves and now everything's soaking wet and freezing, could not get his seatbelt off, because he just couldn't work the seatbelt with the gloves on in the freezing water. And he wound up drowning, and it was very, very tragic. And that was something that was just local here recently. And yeah, if he hadn't been wearing his seatbelt, it is possible that he could have lived. But again, it's a balance. There's again, look at the rates for with a seatbelt versus without a seatbelt. And I think, 20 years from now, we're going to be looking at exactly those same kinds of numbers for, hey, here's the rates of stuff with automated vehicles and here's the rates of stuff without. And clearly automated vehicles are going to wind up being a lot safer. That's just how this is going to go. But anyway. 93 says, oh man, why are they all so far apart? It's from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, can you recite the Greek alphabet? Let's say I can. Sure. Do it if you can. Okay. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Nope, that's it. I'm done. I guess I can't. Rho, phi? Epsilon, omega, I can't do them in order. I know omega's at the end, and I know alpha, beta, gamma, delta right at the beginning. That's about it. I probably, if I had to sit down and list them all off, whether there are 23 of them, I think I could list them all, but I don't even know if I could match the symbols to the names in every case. I think I can. Anyway. That would have been really impressive if I could have rattled that off. I wish I was smarter. 67 is, oh, darn it. There it is. It's from Zimney. All right. Five Podomatic questions, five different people. That's nice. What is the best thing you can have on your pancakes? $100 bills, but don't eat them. If it's something edible, maple syrup and butter. That's really all that you have to have on pancakes. I know. You could do blueberry, strawberry. I've had peanut butter on pancakes. I've had all sorts of different flavored syrups. But honestly, butter and maple syrup, that is the way to eat pancakes. It's awesome. Oh, wait. Although peanut butter and maple syrup is also really good, too. But you know what? That's a once in it's a very occasional thing. Very occasional. Seriously, butter. Maple syrup. You don't need anything else for your pancakes. Why mess with perfection, right? 24. And 24 is going to be our last one, I think. Let's see. 24 is from Mrs. Darks again. Mrs. Darks says, why are $10 bills so much rarer than the other denominations? I mean, you could totally Google it, but I'd be way more interested in any theories you could provide. Oh, sure. Well, okay, because I think it comes down to if you look at our denominations of coins and bills working our way up, dime is all right, but dime is not as helpful as it could be. But going from quarters, I mean, you go to quarters, and then you got four quarters and a dollar. Oh, hold on. I've got an alarm going off. I have to take care of that. Okay, alarm's taken care of. I remember where I was now. Four quarters make a dollar. You got $5 into a $5 bill, and then four of those into a $20 bill. Those are nice, comfortable jumps where you go, you know, four or five of one, and then, okay, now we're ready to move up to the next one. Whereas with the 10 is stuck in between because you're going five, and then you get two of them to make a 10, two of them to make a 20. It's just a little awkward. So, a little unnecessary. I mean, you could either have two fives or you could have a 20 and you could have, I mean, it's not a, I don't know, again, to me, it just isn't as convenient a denomination as some of the others that we have. I think dime doesn't suffer from that because you would think going from penny to, you know, five pennies in a nickel, five nickels in a quarter, four quarters in a dollar, you're getting that same jump. But dime has an advantage because, you can't get an even number of dimes in a quarter because it takes 2.5 of them. So there's just more uses for dimes, but that's, you know, That's just a little thing. So anyway, that's my theory on why $10 bills are not as ubiquitous as other bills. But, you know, again, just a theory. I could look it up, but this was way more fun. Let's do one more. 64. And 64 on the Podomatic list is from, gosh darn it, I cannot find this to save my life. There we go. It's from Kyle. Kyle says, can you explain the Trinity to me? Yes, I can. Is it three distinct aspects which together all comprise God? Yeah, in a way. Is it three aspects of the same thing? Are they different manifestations of one vision, like light through different lenses? What is it? I am not an expert on the Trinity, but I am Catholic, so, you know, I should be able to speak to it. The Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or, you know, if you're a few decades ago, it would be, you know, the Holy Ghost. But it is three aspects of a single being. So, again, Father, and then Son is God made man. And then, the Holy Spirit is, it's described as, it's a more nebulous concept. But, it's often described as, you know, you have Father and Son, and then the Holy Spirit is the love, the bond between the two, or it is God's love for all of us, or it is, there's lots of ways of looking at it, but, ultimately it is all a single God, and the three, are merely aspects of the same God. So, as far as my understanding of it goes, so. Let's try one more. Rather end on something funny than something really heavy and serious, but we'll see how this one pans out for us. 90. 90 is way down here, and there we go. Oh, Mrs. Starks again. Mrs. Starks says, what field of science is most interesting to you and why? And in parentheses she adds, cell and developmental biology is pretty awesome. Just saying. Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. And it's fascinating. Look, there is so much about science that is awesome. I love science. I love all sorts of stuff. And over the years, different things have captured my imagination, and I'll wind up, going to the library and getting books on God knows what. I mean, mathematics always fascinates me. Space, and especially planets, but anything space related, is fascinating to me. I have done biology, not as much my cup of tea, although there's lots of things that are really cool about it. Evolutionary science, especially the study of hominid evolution and human evolution. For a long time, I went off on that for ages, could not get enough information. There's lots of things that I really, really like. My absolute favorite is obviously space. When it comes to, anything about space, anything about, especially about planets, moons, satellites, I love, solar system level astronomy. It's awesome to me. Absolutely awesome. Anything we can find out about other planets, about other moons, about other satellites, I eat it up. That is my most exciting part of science to me, and it's the one that I keep coming back to over and over. So, don't feel limited by that, because seriously, there's all sorts of stuff about science that is spectacular. And that's, I mean, like I say, just about anything can catch my eye. I absolutely love it. So, good question. All right, not gonna roll again. We are done. And that means we need to bring out GLaDOS. She can give us a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, Weezer's in the Garage. She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. Did I use any others? I don't think so. All right. All the songs I use on my podcast are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. You want instructions on how to make your very own pocket mod, go to pocketmod.com. Awesome, convenient, handy. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you enjoy it, why are you not out there spreading the word and letting other people enjoy it as well? Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Pod-O-Matic. Watch every week on the forums and Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all that grueling research. It's getting so hard. My contact info is mike@nerdprideradio.com, at nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, if I had working forums, then the very best way to talk to me would be to come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. But either way, find a way to contact me. Send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. Let's start off here with some listener betrayal. Before every podcast, I go out to my website and I go out to Facebook and I post up, hey, I'm recording anything you post. I'll read it off here. So first off, on my website at nerdprideradio.com/forums, I have one response and it's from Kaz. Kaz says, yay, new episode. Tell us more about Nerd Pride Premium. Oh, yeah, you know what? It was an awesome plan. It kind of fell through. It would have been so nice, but part of Nerd Pride Premium required me, getting all the extra content, anything over an hour for each week, cutting it off and only offering it to you, my premium subscribers. And, I can't do that. I can't withhold content from you. At least not yet. Maybe someday when I see a little more profit value in it. But for right now, nah, seriously, come on. also Kaz says, how awful is Zack Snyder? The Nerd Pride Nation wants to know. Oh, Zack Snyder is so awful. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he keeps making movies and he keeps making huge, big budget movies and they consistently turn out terrible. Look, he has enough talent that he makes things that are watchable and have lots of fun elements in them and yet never come together to be as good as they really ought to be. You know what I mean? Tell you what, I am going to go over to Rotten Tomatoes and let's just look at Zack Snyder and see how he fares. Because, you know, sometimes you get a vision in your head and maybe it's not as bad as all that. So let's take a look and see how old Zack Snyder does. Okay, here we go. There's your first problem is he spells it Zack, Z-A-C-K, so it's really hard for me to look him up because that's not how I would normally spell Zack, even though, all right, we've got a family member who spells it that way, but I still think it's wrong. Anyway, Zack Snyder, you can see here on Rotten Tomatoes that his highest rated movies, Dawn of the Dead at 75%, which I agree, that was a fun movie, Watchmen at 65%, and 300 at 60%. I liked 300 a lot. I liked Dawn of the Dead. Watchmen, I was ambivalent about it. But then number four, his fourth highest rated movie, Man of Steel at 56%. So yeah, his record is not good. 29% on the new Batman versus Superman, 24% on Sucker Punch, 50% on, the Owls of Ga'Hoole. He's just not doing that great. So, I mean, he opened up really well with 300. And I think that's, Dawn of the Dead and then 300. I think that's why he keeps getting movies. But since then, yeah, he's not doing it right. I'm sorry. I'm with you, Cass. Zack Snyder, they need to stop trusting him with these big budget films. He had a couple of really good ones to start off with, and then it's all been downhill since then. So am I still recording? I'm sitting here looking at the internet and I have no idea if my recording is even running. Oh, I am. How about that? All right. What else is next? Kaz also then says in this post, last thing here. Thanks for the show and the forum. I'm getting back to regular gaming with adults. Thanks to you. Hey, well, all right then. That's, That's one of my many goals, is to spread the word of gaming around the world. I mean, honestly. And I don't care what kind of gaming it is. I don't care if it's, you know, role-playing games, video games, board games, card games. Get out there playing. Although the video games, less important, because you can do video games anywhere and often by yourself. I like the ones that have the social aspect. And even if it's not the face-to-face aspect, and even if you're doing it online, I play lots of my role-playing games online. It's still a social thing, and it's still a, I don't know, it's a bonding experience. It's just so much fun. I love games. I'm so glad you're getting involved. I know, you know, having kids, being an adult, growing up, that makes it really tough to get it all together. But eventually you find your place and you find a way. So I'm really glad it's working for you, man. I'm honestly, sincerely happy about that. That is so cool. All right. That is it for my website. I say done. And we go over to Facebook, which I'm sure is right here. Yep, there it is. Facebook. Now, holy crap. All right, when did I start recording? We're like an hour in, but I think I started recording about 2 hours ago. I've been kind of pausing off and on when stuff needs to get done. And it says here in the last 2 hours, 69 people have seen this post. That's really awesome in just 2 hours. I'm very thrilled about that. I don't know about your guys' Facebook numbers, but for me, 69 people is a lot, at least in that short of time period. All right, so the first comment on my Facebook page is it's from Masters 8, and Masters 8 says, "Hey, missed you last week. Glad you're back. Also, I wish I would have stuck with 10 Cloverfield Lane." Oh, don't we all, man? Don't we all? Masters 8 is for at least 2 or 3 more days, my best friend in the world. And he's on the Fantasy Movie League with me. And this week, boy, there was at the price you had the money for it, it was either 10 Cloverfield Lane or Deadpool. And the two of them are priced almost identically. And I went with Deadpool. I love Deadpool. And I saw Deadpool holding on better. And as it turns out, it's going to be crucial this week. Everything else I nailed pretty well. I just didn't see Cloverfield making nearly as much money as it did this weekend. So, man, screwed out of my perfect cinema again. But oh well. I'm actually not doing too bad. You know what? I'm not going to complain. Yeah, I made a little mistake, but things could be way worse. All right. And then Kaz, who likes to do the Facebook and my website because he's that committed, Kaz says, "So, who wins in a fight, Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman or Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns Superman?" Oh, that is really, really tough. I would go with the Dark Knight Returns Superman. I mean, I know he got himself trounced by Batman. You know, that stuff happens. Because for the simple reason that Superman doesn't lose his abilities. All right. Superman is still Superman. All right? His powers don't diminish over time. He is always that powerful. And therefore, the difference between the two is Dark Knight Returns Superman from Frank Miller is a Superman with a lot more experience. So therefore, I'm going to give it to Dark Knight Returns Superman. As we've seen in Man of Steel and now Batman versus Superman, this is an inexperienced Superman. I mean, the Superman of Man of Steel wound up destroying half of New York City and causing all this property damage in his fight with Zod because he's inexperienced, all right? And he's going to get better at that, all right? And this is, I think, the same sort of factors play in here that, honestly, Dark Knight Returns Superman has it based on age and experience. That's my vote on that one. All right, who's next? Next is Nelly. All right, hi, Nelly. Nelly says, "Finally going to go see Deadpool tonight." Oh, I'm so jealous. You get to see Deadpool for the first time. You are so lucky. And then she woots and says, "We're going to Cinnabar, which is a movie theater that serves dinner and booze while you eat." Oh, love those. My first one was Alamo Drafthouse down in Texas. And now we've got the Marcus Theaters up here. I don't know that we can. Oh, I think we can order booze at the Marcus Theaters because they've got a bar right up in the lobby. So yeah, we've never actually ordered booze while we were watching the movie, but we certainly could. I love that. I love the recliners. I love the food being served to you in the theater. I love the whole business. I just, yes, I understand the extra space required and the extra expense because you have these, you know, these cineplexes with 20 different screens in it or 25 different screens in it. And, you know, each one only has, you know, 40 seats, 50 seats in the theater. So it's a whole different way of running stuff. But man, I really love a comfortable theater. I love the experience. They are making it worth my time to go to the theater as opposed to waiting for it to, so I can watch it at home. So, Nelly then continues with, what's your favorite thing on the McDonald's menu? My favorite thing on the McDonald's menu is the sausage McMuffin with egg. And now that sausage McMuffin with egg is being served 24 hours a day at McDonald's, I don't need to ever order anything else. And I've discovered that not every McDonald's does this, but the one right near my house does. They also serve the breakfast hash browns 24 hours a day. So when I roll up for dinner, rest of my family can order their Big Macs and their chicken nuggets, which is pretty much everything we order. Big Macs, chicken nuggets, fries, and spread all that around. I can order myself a single sausage McMuffin with egg and a single order of hash browns, and I'm in heaven. That is my favorite thing there. Although, again, still a fan of the McChicken and still a fan of the McGangbang, where you take the McChicken for a dollar and the McDouble for a dollar back when they were both a dollar. Now I think they're $1.19. But you could go in when they had their dollar menu and it was really a dollar menu and had a lot of variety on it. You'd order the McChicken and the McDouble, and then you'd open up your McDouble because it's got two patties in it, and between the two patties of your McDouble, you put the whole chicken sandwich in there. So you've now got, you know, two full buns in there, plus a chicken patty, plus two beef patties, plus all the cheese and the mayo and the lettuce and everything else. That was heavenly. I don't do that as often anymore now that I can get breakfast 24 hours a day, but still pretty good. So, all right, next up, I think this is the last one on Facebook. It is. It is from Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth says, hope that weird thing with your voice cleared up. Yeah, I don't know what happened with my special announcement. I'm afraid some people might not have taken me seriously because it did not sound like me at all, did it? She then continues. So Evangeline, that's her daughter, Evangeline and I were chatting the other day, and she says to me, Mama, I'm not cool like the nerdy kids. Now the conversation continued, and I explained to her a little more as to what nerd means to me and about labels, etc. And it was a really good talk, but hearing nerds called the cool kids kind of tickled me, you know? Oh, tell me about it. How awesome is that? The nerdy kids are the cool ones, at least there. So I would love to see more of that. Although, again, I don't know. I guess there's always going to be that definition. There's always going to be cool kids and not cool kids. The cool kids are going to be whoever is most popular, whoever most of the other kids want to be like. And it's not like you can eliminate that from society, from groups. It's, you know, there's always going to be someone that other people wish they could be. So, but you know, hey, if she's got someone to emulate and it's the nerds, oh, I'm all for that. More power to her. All right. And that is the end of this podcast. So thank you so much, guys, for joining us. I love every single one of you. This has been an awesome time and I'll see you next week. See ya. Oh, wait. Say goodnight, Lisa.
Goodnight, Lisa.
Say goodnight, R2. We're out.